discipleship, and we've talked last week in the morning. I started on discipleship, and we talked in the introduction to discipleship about the Great Commission, where Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded." And we talked about that last week, that really at the heart of what the church is on about is discipleship. And we talked about last week that you think, Rick Warren has his five purposes and his sort of mission, outreach, and discipleship is almost inward. But really, when you're building disciples, it's not about, well, making some good people to feel good together. When you build disciples, you know what you get? You get missionaries, you get people that care about the lost, you get people that go into the community. So discipleship, we said last week, I said in the morning, it's not an inward-looking thing, even though it is about strengthening and growing in faith. We're not talking about, well, I thought we're an outward-focused church. We are an outward-focused church. When you build disciples, you get great missionaries for Jesus Christ. And Jesus told us to go and make disciples. It's at the heart of who we are as a people of God. But I guess then you start to say, well, what's the real goal of this thing? And what's the point? If you've had kids, you might have had this conversation. Pick on my kids again. I've got two of them here. And you go to say, well, okay, what we're going to do, I want us to go and get ready. We're going here. And you haven't even finished the sentence and the kids are off. Ready? And you've got all these things you want to explain what you're actually going to do, right? And they're already, and I'm saying, hang on a minute. You don't even know what we're on about here. And so I guess it's great last week to kind of say, Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them today, everything I commanded. But what are we actually on about? We've got to actually stop and think, what is the goal then? What do we actually want? If we're making a disciple, what does it actually look like? What do we hope to see when we make a disciple? What are we going to invest time like? Do we want people that can quote the whole Bible? Do we want people that make sure everyone goes to every church service? Is that a disciple? Is it people that are on 50 rosters? Are they? Is that a disciple? Well, I have, I guess, what I think is a pretty simple definition of what it means, that what the goal of true discipleship is this. Everyone say that? I reckon that's a fair, what do you reckon? That's a pretty fair description, I reckon, if we read our Bibles. If you say, we want to make disciples, we want to make people more like Christ. And just to show you that I'm not making this up, here's a couple of verses. We've got to pick a whole lot from the Bible. Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So predestined before God's plan. So all eternity, God's always had this plan for his people to become like his son. So this is the eternal plan of God. Discipleship, more like Jesus Christ. Become like his son. Another one that probably focuses more on life now, not just that eternity. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Just see, this one's talking about this present life, that the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, more and more, so you haven't arrived, no one's arrived, but more and more we're being changed into the image of Christ. So again, what's the goal of disciples? Make them more like Christ. And here's another one that talks about, I guess, the end game for us. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we do know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he... So even when we get to the end of this life into eternity, the plan, well, the actual thing that is going to happen, his people are going to be like his son. Now, we're not going to be the son of God, but we're going to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, right? So this is... The eternal plan of God has always been to have his church to be like his son, Jesus Christ. In this life, we're growing more and more by the power of the Spirit to be like Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven one day, we will be like Jesus. So to me, it seems like this is a fair... You think so? Everyone agree that's a fairly kind of good description then of making a disciple more like Jesus Christ? We want people more like that. But I guess then you've got to start... Ask the next step, because there's another question, is there? Well, what does it actually mean? Because people have lots of different ideas. Do you just think of the images you have on the pictures of Jesus, you know, the bearded lady Jesus, or kind of that spooky kind of Jesus, you know, is that why Pastor Matt's growing a beard? Because all the pictures of Jesus, how I better grow the long hair as well. What is it, that image of Jesus? What is it actually mean to be like Jesus? Currently in Parliament, you might have seen the federal government's debating the Religious Freedom Act, and there's been a paper written and they're debating on what this is. And it's going to be quite challenging for Christians what's coming out of it. But one of the things that's been debated in the media and politicians having to wrestle with this is they're talking about the rights of a Christian schools that they're not going to be allowed to hire or fire staff based on their Christian ethics or values. That there's going to be certain things where, sorry, it doesn't matter. You can't hire or fire people. That's discrimination, right? Now, you would have thought a Muslim school would have Muslim teachers and a Christian school would have Christian teachers, right? And then they start on the gay marriage debate and they're saying that, well, just because someone says they disagree with the Christian view of sexuality, you can't hire them, not hire them, or you can't fire them. Yeah, you imagine somehow how that's going to go. And I mean, that's not the real point I want to get. I want to get to this point, and this point because we're trying to say we want to be more like Jesus Christ. And there's a whole lot of people, I read this all the time, I've shared before in church, one of my things I like to do is read all the comments on news articles. It gets me really cranky as well, but there's something about it, I like just sort of seeing what people are saying. And one of the common things from people that aren't Christians, what they say is, well, isn't Jesus all about love anyway? I mean, how could you exclude anyone? Or, you know, there's this whole idea, this picture of Jesus. So you want to say be more like Christ, we better actually work out what it is we're supposed to be like, right? Because there's a whole lot of people who are saying, well, be like Jesus means you love everybody no matter what they do and you accept everything. And that's not Jesus, is it? And so there's this next step we can say, yes, the goal is to make disciples. The goal is to make them more like Jesus Christ. But then we've got to say, well, what does it actually mean to be like Jesus Christ? And I just want to share with you, and I have to admit that some of these points are stolen from John Stott's book, The Radical Disciple. I've been reading as we've been preparing for this series on discipleship, been rereading some of the ones I've read a couple of times before. And so a bit of credit to John Stott from some of three of these four points. He talks through some of these. But he goes through there just some specific ways that the Bible says we're to be more like Christ. Okay, so we don't want to just listen to what the culture says, do we? They don't get it wrong, right? We want to get in God's word and we want to say, well, what does actually God say about what it means to be more like Christ? And here's just four ways tonight that we are to be like Jesus Christ, and you're going to help me apply it. We're going to have a bit of feedback and help you apply it. And here's the first one. We're to be more like Jesus, or we're to be like Jesus in his incarnation. Now, that's a fancy theological word that's talking about God becoming flesh and living amongst us. So Jesus Christ becoming a human and living amongst us. He incarnated himself into the world. That's a theological term for that. Now, where do we see that in Scripture? Well, there's it's actually my favourite passage of Scripture, Philippians 2, 5 to 11, but it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So here we're specifically told, here's the attitude that you're supposed to have. You've got to be more like Christ. You should have the attitude of Jesus Christ. And then what follows is a description of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And it says this. This is reading from the New Living Translation. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So here's one where we're specifically told to be like Jesus, and we're to be like Jesus in his incarnation. What did Jesus do? It says he came, even though he was God, he didn't use that to his own advantage. Instead, he humbled himself and became a human, even though he was God. And he humbled himself to the cross where he died, even though he was God. And we're to have that attitude. So we're to be like Jesus in his incarnation, who didn't just seek his own glory, his own best, but instead sought the best for you and for me. Amen? So what does that look like? Bit of feedback time. What might it look like then to have that same attitude as Jesus in daily life, in church life, or in your individual lives? Come on, have a think. What might it look like to be more like Christ in this? What do you think? Yep, the way you treat people. Yep. Someone over here. Yep, loving all people no matter what. Yep, what else? So remember, Jesus, even though he was God, allowed himself to become human and allowed himself to be killed. And you're to have that attitude. What might it look like in church life? In what do you think? Forgiving. Yep. Jesus didn't come and demand. He had every right to call on 10,000 angels and demand that wipe out these people. But instead, forgave. On the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Forgiving. What else? Obeying. Yep. Yep. I mean, when I read this, I think about the fact that Jesus had all power and authority, but he didn't use that to his own advantage. It's a passage about humility. It's a passage where you're not all about getting what you deserve, you know, puffing yourself up, making sure I get mine. Oh, I missed out. That's not good enough. I want to make sure I get my fair desserts. Jesus instead is the one who humbles himself, doesn't seek out to have all the glory and the honor, even though he gets it in the end there, it says, because of what he did. But he doesn't use it to his advantage. Instead, he serves humbly. And so we're supposed to have that humble attitude, not puffing ourselves up, not in church life, not in individual life. We're supposed to have this humble attitude that we'd be willing to serve and to love. So the first passage, we're told to be like Christ in his incarnation. So what does it mean? To be a disciple means to be more like Christ, to be more like Christ, like him in his incarnation. The second one, to be like Jesus in his service. We see this specifically in Scripture. Here's a couple of examples. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus didn't come so that everyone could serve him. He came to actually serve others. And then at the communion meal, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example so that you also may do even as I have done to you. So here's Jesus specifically again saying, see, I'm not making this stuff up, am I? Jesus is specifically saying, do it like I did it. Now, this is where he washed the disciples' feet. Now, you might have heard before around this. Feet in those days, very, very dirty, walking around the dusty old roads and animal excrement and probably people excrement and all sorts of. And only the lowly servant, the lowest servant, washed people's feet. That was like, you don't go near the feet. And here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, stoops down and washes his disciples' feet. And it says they're all there. I mean, it doesn't say specifically, but it seems like to me that Judas was there. I mean, he was there when he, you know, dipped his hand in the cup, wasn't he? And this is at the communion meal. Jesus knows Judas is going to betray. And always amazes me to think that, imagine Jesus washing Judas's feet. I mean, washing anyone's feet, the King of Kings, is amazing, right? But can you imagine him washing Judas's feet? So here's Jesus. He's here to serve. He's not here to be served, to be puffed up. I met someone recently that told me they were doing what lots of people do. They said, we're going church shopping. You've heard that saying before. And I really don't like it. I know at times people have to change different churches for different reasons, a whole lot of it. I just don't like that consumerist term, right? And when I talk to people, I know people have to go and find out where God's calling them. That's the right question. But I guess my sense is most of the time people are going, I ask them, you know, what are they looking for? And they're trying to work out what they can get, right? Not what they can give. Generally, people are, you know, where's the one that's going to give me what I want? And I know we want to have the right teaching, we want to make sure we enjoy worshipping, and there's different things, but there's just something for me that often when people are searching, and even in our own church, when people are coming in our own church and thinking about how the church service was or thinking about coming to church, it's what can I get, not what can I give. Jesus had the opposite attitude. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, how can I serve? I'm not here to be served, I'm here to serve. Now, I hope in our church people do get good teaching, they do learn, they do enjoy worship, they get to use their gifts. But, you know, Jesus came and washed feet and served people. Not came and said, oh, I hope I get everything I want out of this. I hope it's really good for me. Instead, he wanted to make sure it was a blessing to other people. So that's the next way we've got to be like Jesus in his service. Two more. We're told to be like Jesus in his love. Be like Jesus in his love. Couple of examples. Here's one that we talked about at men's camp. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Challenging verse, isn't it, for us husbands? Whew. That's a challenging verse. But here's Jesus again. Well, we're told, Paul writing this letter, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So again, to be like Christ in the way you treat your spouse. Another one. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So again there we're told, just as Christ loved with an absolute, relentless love, a love that was full of mercy and grace and not judgment, a love where he deserved glory and honor, instead he got a cross. And Jesus says love like that. So we're to be like Jesus in his love. And that's tough to do at times, isn't it? You think about the love of Christ where he got spat on, beaten, crucified, and he deserved none of it. He deserved honor. And we're supposed to love like that. And then the last one is where to be like Jesus in his mission. I've shared before one of my favorite verses. I call them my five life verses for me. They're just sort of, I guess, when I got called to pastoral ministry, some things that I reflected on what I wanted to be as a pastor, and this is one of them. I tell you, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Repentance, sinners repenting and coming to Jesus, gets God excited more than anything else, and so that's going to get me excited. And we're told to have that same idea. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So just as Jesus was sent on his mission to the world, we've been sent. So we're to be like Jesus in his mission. And again, in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And so the church, James got me a new shirt last week with his great shirt company, Generous Apparel. Bit of a plug for Generous Apparel. .com.org.au. Go and look him up. But he's heard me quoted a couple of times, so he got me this shirt that says, every Christian is a missionary or an imposter. Either a missionary or an imposter. Because the church, by its very nature, is a sent people, sent to a hurting world to show them the love of Jesus and to speak the love of Jesus. And we have been told in Scripture to be like Jesus in his mission. So there's just four simple things for us to reflect on tonight. What does it mean to be a disciple? I think the simple way to think about it is to be more like Jesus, who has said is our Lord and Savior. Lord means we're going to surrender, we're going to follow. And there's four ways. You can probably go home and find some more. I challenge someone to send me a text or an email and say, I read this today, be more like Christ like this. Go on, someone do that this week and send me an email or a text and say, look, Matt, here's another verse I found with another way we're supposed to be like Christ. But here's four ways that we are specifically told we are to be like Jesus in his incarnation. Even though he was God, surrendered that for loving people. We're to be like Jesus in his service. Didn't come to serve and to be served and get everything he could. Instead, he came to serve and bless. We're to be like Jesus in his love, who sacrificed himself for us. And we're to be like Jesus in his mission. So keep searching how we can be more and more like Christ. Keep praying that God will grow us more and more like Christ. And in a couple of weeks' time, we'll talk about, I guess, some of the habits of a disciple to put ourselves in the best place so that God can actually make us more like Christ. Because it doesn't happen by accident, you know that? It's not just going to be sitting at home watching YouTube all day and suddenly God hits you with a lightning bolt. And God's actually given us a few things and prayers, hasn't he? And people and church and service, he's actually given us a few things that he works through. You can't just sit around and hope. But we'll talk about that in another couple of weeks. So, yeah. Anyone want to share a thought or reflection on that? No? You can't? Anyone want to? Feel free if you want to. We're all friends here. It's a good goal, isn't it? Be more like Christ. Yes? You don't seem very excited. Yes? Yes? I think it's the goal of a disciple. So let me pray for us and we're going to finish with a song. Heavenly Father, we would just want to thank you for the example of Jesus.